a nightmare, unbelievable, impossible. These were just some of the adjectives used about Brazil's debacle in the semifinals of the World Cup. Brazil lost to Germany, and to think that Brazil is the best national team in the world, defeat was bitter enough. But to lose by 7-1 mauling, it's just like in basketball, losing 100-20. And that's just humiliation. Brazil is supposed to be the best with the most number of World Cup championships. And you can see the fans, when you watch the game, unashamedly weeping as they watch the massacre of their team. The nation now is in mourning. But wait a minute. Aren't we talking here of a game? Even if it is the most popular game, it is still a game. It is one of the certain proofs of how twisted human values and priorities have become. Ang iyakan mo ang isang laro at parabang bumagsak na ang langit sa inyong bansa nang dahil natalo sa isang larong football, pinapatunayan lang yan kung paanong baluktot ang mga prioridad ng mga tao sa mundo. People cry over a lost game, and daily they have no concern about their lost souls. And the mission of the church, as we have been singing, has not changed since the commission by Christ, and it is to tell the world that life is not about football. There is something far worse than losing by 7-1 in a World Cup semifinals. And it is what Paul is seeking to refresh in the section we are now dealing with in his letter to the second letter to the Corinthians. Tandaan natin, ito ay isinulat ni Pablo bilang tugon sa mga bintang na iginawad laban sa kanya. Nagsumulat siya ng isang sulat na tinawag niyang matinding sulat, a severe letter, and that no longer exists, and he was waiting for response to that letter. The original charge against him was his apparent change of plan of visiting Corinth, and Paul explains that he changed his plan of visiting because he anticipated that if he proceeds with his visit, it will prove painful indeed. And Paul singles out the individual that has become the occasion of division for the Corinthians, but he appears to be a leader of the group that rebelled against Paul. He received formal censure or discipline from the church, but now he is repentant, most probably the result of the severe letter of Paul, but probably because of his major role in the rebellion against the apostle. There is reluctance on the part of the church, the Corinthian church, to really restore him. And we are in the section where Paul is appealing in this letter that they should prove their love to him. He appeals for genuine forgiveness. We learned there that forgiveness of the repentant is essential to restored fellowship between brethren. He then uses, as we saw last week, the familiar figure of a victory parade for a triumphant general to make a point, whether the triumph is because of restored relationship between brethren, or the triumph is in terms of those who are being saved. And indeed, he even included, if that is something that results in the perishing of the lost, that is still triumph of Christ. And he pictures the church as the soldiers marching for the victory of the general, and the general is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there we learn that in Christ, suffering becomes the humbling way of triumph. But now we ask the question, what sort of church, what sort of ministry have the right to be part of that victory march? Who can expect that right now and until Christ comes again, we belong to that victory march? I only have one verse for my text this afternoon. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Well, let me just say that this is one of those verses in scriptures that is needing a clarion call upon churches today. If it is only possible to announce and scream this verse to many churches, to many pulpits, to many assemblies of God's people, we should do so. This is one of those verses that reminds us what it is for the church, what it is for any ministry to earn a place in that victory march of the general, the commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. To explain further why he has that sense of triumph, Paul explains his sense or understanding of the ministry of the word. He does so by making a contrast, a side swipe upon his opponents, the super apostles of Corinth. And in doing so, he gives us today's churches a continuing measure of the triumph of the ministry. Sa mga salitang ito ni Pablo, binibigyan niya tayo ng patuloy na panukat sa nagtatagumpay na ministeryo ng iglesia. This is my message. The ministry's triumph for Christ is through faithful proclamation of the word. Ang tagumpay ng ministeryo para kay Kristo ay sa pamamagitan ng tapat na pagpapahayag ng salita. The ministry's triumph for Christ is through faithful proclamation of the word. This is a proposition so fundamentally essential engaging the church and its ministry. Maraming sinusukat ngayon ng iglesia kung ito ba yung mga masayahing tao, masaya ba ang pagtitipon dyan, o doon ba ay merong maraming aktibidad, marami bang mga pinamimigay at marami pang bagay na ginagamit na sukatan. There are popular ways of measuring success of ministry in today's churches, but we must keep to Paul's basic measure. Let other things be gone as long as this is present. You can say that it is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the faithful proclamation of the word. But how do we know that we are faithful in the proclamation of the word? Here Paul appeals to three facts about the ministry of his mission team in contrast with the super apostles of Corinth. And what are those three facts about the ministry? First is sincere motive. Tapat na motibo. Sincere motive. Second is assured calling. Tiyak na panawagan. Assured calling. And third is conscious presence, namamalayang presensya, conscious presence. By these three, Paul maintains that he and his team of missionaries have been faithful in the proclamation of the word, unlike the super apostles of Corinth. The first then that we need to examine in our own church, in our own ministry, is sincere motive. Paul's first contrast with the unfaithful ministry of the super apostles is in saying as men of sincerity. Kami mga tao ng may sinceridad, may katapatan. Here I think it is the contrast that gives it meaning. It is contrasted with those whom Paul describes as peddlers. Nagtitinda, naglalako ng salita ng Diyos. Yun ang ibig niyang sabihin, huckstering. The lexicon I used gives this meaning to engage in retail business with the implication of deceptiveness and greedy motives. Now that's the opposite of being sincere. We learn here that sincerity is in stark contrast with the intention of personal profit or gaining at others' expense. Paano mo masasabi na ikaw ay may sinseridad? Kabaligtaran ito ng motibo na naghahangad ng pangsariling kalamangan, pangsariling pakinabang, laban sa interes ng iba. Ginagamit nila ang iba para sila ay makinabang. Yan ang salungat na ginagawa ni Pablo sa uri ng kanyang ministeryo doon sa mga tinawag niyang super apostles. His word for sincerity, when used literally in Greek, has the sense of being without yeast. Yeast is used to give the bread an artificial appearance of expanded size. Now that is all right with bread, literally. But when extended to figurative language, it carries the sense of malice. This is the word used in 1 Corinthians 5:8, for example. Let us keep the feast, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Artificiality, plastic, that would be the equivalent in our language today. You see this in peddlers in the street, yung mga naglalako. They are forever alert, at least many of them, are forever alert to any advantage they can juice from their customers. They jack up the price for the item. They cheat on the weighing scale. There is sleight of hand quickness. Just so anything that they can take advantage of at the expense of their customers. For all you know, the peddler may not even believe in his product. He may know it to be defective, and he doesn't use it himself. But he will tell prospects that it is the best buy for their money. That's huckstering. The sincere is one who believes both in his product and cares for his prospect. Those are the two elements of sincerity. Believing in the product, caring for the prospect. And this is just one big problem in many ministries today. They do not believe in the message of scriptures. And proof of that is they are occupied with changing the message into the desired shape they want. Yung hugis na gusto nila para sa mensahe, yung laman na mailalagay nila sa mensahe para lamang ito ay mabili. Yan ang ginagawa ng mga naglalako. Kahit anong gawin na lang sa kanilang produkto, basta mabili. They don't believe it in the product itself. And the problem of sincerity, brethren, is at the root a problem of really believing the Word of God. Do we really believe it? I wonder sometimes when I watch the news and I hear the speeches of the three senators in custody, do they really believe their defense? Well, time will show. But nonetheless, it really is hard to labor on something you do not believe in. It's tiring. It's wearisome. And the more important the task, and the less you believe in it, it's so wearisome. And that's something that we need to refresh again and again. Believe in your product. In our case, believe in your message. And the challenge to us, and the real challenge of sincerity, is genuinely care for the intended hearers when you share the word. Totohanin mo ang pagkalinga, ang iyong pagmamalasakit sa mga nakikinig sa salitang ibinabahagi mo. Do you genuinely care? Next to believing your product, the mark of sincerity is really caring for your prospect. How do you know that you really care? Here is the test that I'm sure Paul has undergone in Corinth. If you really care for your prospect, wait until he hurts you. Maghintay ka hanggang saktan ka ng hinahangad mo na abutin ang salita. Hanggat na rin siya nakikinig ng magalang kahit pa hindi pumapasok sa kanya ang salita, madali pa rin ang magmalasakit. Hintayin mong saktan ka ng iyong pinagmamalasakitan at yan dyan masusubok kung talagang nagmamalasakit ka sa kanya. This is what Paul has undergone in Corinth, where the welcome in Troas was really tempting. He could have just forgotten Corinth. He could have just said goodbye, problem Corinth. Hello, welcoming Troas. But instead, he left Troas to visit or to meet Titus in order to know what has happened to Corinth. This was the church that hurt him so much. And yet, he cared enough. It is when the prospect provokes you to anger, when he tries your patience, and even when he demeans you, would you still care enough to seek to reach out? It takes sincerity that believes eternity is too serious a price to just let the prospect go. And Paul could confidently appeal. He is appealing here in this text. He is not self-justifying. He is appealing because he knows that the Corinthians must know he cares sincerely after all that he has gone through. It is a strong argument when you can appeal to your sincerity of genuine care and you know that the prospect, the hearer cannot deny it. When you have to go through the hurts and yet still care enough to reach out. I told you I'm watching the TV series, The Pacific. It is about the American campaign in the Pacific Islands during the Second World War. One of the main characters of that series is a Christian. When he left home to volunteer for army service, he was full of idealism, gentleness, and decency. He volunteered because he really and sincerely wanted to serve his country. But as he joined the war and the war dragged on, the movie so skillfully shows the gradual change in the personality of this character. Rage began to build up in him. And in one of the last episode I watched last Friday, as he was discussing with his comrades, he said, "I hope Japan will not surrender so we could kill every one of them." This was the man of decency, Christian faith. In fact, he has his Bible with him to mark the days he spent in war. But as the war dragged on, rage built. And sometimes I think Christian witness is similar. It's like warfare. You are full of idealism, people you want to reach out to. And then you meet resistance, you meet demeaning remarks. And care can translate into bitterness. Beware. What is needed for faithful ministry is sincere motive of care. And it is challenged when you are hurt most. Secondly, assured calling. Tiyak na panawagan. The second contrast with the unfaithful ministry of the super apostles, Paul says, is as commissioned by God. The original really has the very simple as from God. The source of his ministry, Paul recognizes, is God. The suggestion, of course, is that the super apostles are in the ministry from other reasons than God's calling. And here we learn that the proclamation of the word is a divine commission for the church, that for the church to undertake and to recognize. Panawagan ng iglesia ang pagpapahayag ng salita sa kanyang gawain at sa kanyang kikilalanin. The church, as we were told kanina, is the one agency in the world with such a commission from God to preach the word. Now, that should be honor to us. Dapat ituring nating dangal ng iglesia iyon. Hindi tayo tinawag para maglaro, hindi tayo tinawag para magbigay aliw, tinawag tayo para magpahayag ng kanyang salita at yan ang dangal ng iglesia. It is imperative for us to see how, in both formal and practical ways, we are connecting to our commission everything we do. We just prayed for the forthcoming Sunday School Teacher Seminar. How do we connect that to our task and mandate of proclamation of the word through this seminar that we have been handling now for more than 10 years? We are seeking to have teachers, even of children, who will be faithful to the word. Not just telling stories so that children may have their time of quiet, not disturbing the adults. Oh no. We are seeking to train teachers who will be honest to the word and teach children from their childhood days the word of God. That's still part of proclamation. But part of the commission is for the church to recognize the men whom God is calling to proclaim. The great failure in this matter in the churches is many rush to get the most popular, the most dominant, instead of using the measure of faithful proclamation, they look for people with the ability of skillful organization, event management skills. Now, I'm not demeaning those skills, but the first thing is faithful proclamation of the word. And this is a sobering responsibility. I tremble as I bear this upon my shoulder, that to the utmost that I have oversight of, to have men who will go to churches whose main qualification is that they are faithful proclaimers of the word. Did you know that Brazil is rooting for Germany, the team that defeated them, that mauled them? Why? Because they are bitter rivals with Argentina. They cannot take the thought that Argentina, which will play the finals with Germany, will win the finals at their own home turf. And so you will find sa mga media nila, they are rooting for Germany very publicly. That's just because of the bitter rivalry. Well, our proclamation has no luxury for that. No luxury for bitterness towards anyone, because we are called, we must proclaim it to everyone. So highlight as a challenge, highlight your sense of accountability to God in sharing the word. Because it is calling from God, the answering response should be accountable to God. Dahil panawagan ng Diyos, ang sagot natin, pananagutan sa Diyos. Hindi naman natin ito pananagutan sa lipunan. Hindi natin ito pananagutan sa sarili lang natin. This sense of accountability is what the super apostles lacked. So they have it easy. They have no solemn sense of responsibility of honestly expounding the word, and so they just give out any discourse that's popular. They do not have in their thought, as we have seen last week, Paul has the pain of thinking about the perishing souls. All they want is to multiply. The sense of accountability, let me tell you, is heavy to bear. It will require honesty to the word, restlessness for the perishing souls. But remember that the ministry of the word, as Paul says, is from God. God cares for it. He promised to bless it. But he wants faithful servants. He wants a faithful church. There must be that sense of restlessness, that we should not be just sitting down doing nothing when souls are perishing around us. When William Carey delivered that great sermon in which he called for that we should expect great things from God and attempt great things for God, it happened in a fraternal of ministers. And he was calling then for a mission society that will send missionaries. And after the people, you know, formally and as usual thanked him for the message, and it appeared that nothing would be done, that's when he cornered Andrew Fuller, took him by the collar, and said in very serious words, "Sir, is nothing to be done again." Well, because of that earnestness on his part, something was done. A mission society was formed. And the next thing, William Carey was sent to India, never to return again. Do we have that sense of restlessness? Is nothing to be done? You see that person you reach out to, talk about anything on earth, but not the gospel. Is nothing to be done? Think of your calling as a church. Think of your calling as a Christian. And finally, conscious presence, namamalayang presensya. The third contrast with the unfaithful ministry of the super apostles, Paul says, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Consciousness of the presence of God overcomes the presence of deterrent forces. And we all have to deal with pressures, with deterrent forces. It could be personal intimidation. Baka matatakutin ka, mahiyain ka. External opposition. Baka takot ka sa insulto. Takot kang makutya. At marami pang iba na maaring sumalungat sa atin. And we may have various ways of dealing with these forces. And certainly there are practical ways. But none is more powerful than the sense of God being present in the ministry of the Word. And pressure in something serious is no easy thing. Again, to use a sports illustration, I was with my son at the Araneta last Wednesday for the Do or Die Game 5 between San Mig Coffee and Rain or Shine. And I saw that great players deliver at key moments. But then towards the end, when just a few seconds were remaining, great players could also wilt under pressure. With a few seconds left, score was 92-89. And two of the most reliable free throw shooters, James Yap and Mark Barroca, missed all their 4 free throws. Just one shot, they could have assured a win. So ball back to Rain or Shine, and all they needed was a 3-point shot. And 5 of their 5 attempts were made by their best 3-point shooters. None was made. My point is, even the best people deliver at key moments, but even these best people wilt under pressure. And we all do. What is the pressure on you now concerning sharing the word? Anong pressure sa iyo kapag ang usapin ay ang tungkulin mong magbahagi ng salita? Mahiyain, natatakot, ayaw masalungat. Ano man iyon, ang panagot dyan ay a consciousness of God's presence in the sight of God. And upon saying that, Paul could only follow it up with the words, we speak. If it is in the sight of God, we speak. Cultivate the sense of God's watching eye when you share the word. The problem today is that many are persuaded that God is somewhere else than the ministry of the word. This is the mentality of the super apostles, and their legacy is abundant today. Find God where there are miracles. Find God where there is wealth. Find God where there is power. Find God where there is fame. Find God where there is position. We must refresh that God chose the ministry of the word as the place of his most transforming presence. One of the most beautiful statements to that effect is Isaiah 66 verse 2. After saying that heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool, he says, all these things my hand has made. So all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. I imagine it something like this, in a way that only human beings can imagine of God. God surveys his creation, the heavenly bodies, at his reach, even those that our telescopes cannot yet reach. And God admires his own work. He delights in his work. He looks at the great constellations of stars, the Orions, the big deepers. He looks at the solar system, the beauty of the ring of Saturn. And then suddenly God stops and pauses. Something catches his attention. It's not a planet. It's not a star. It's a humble room where a Christian opens his word and he is trembling at the word of God. And this text is telling us beyond Saturn, beyond stars, beyond Orions, God pays attention to the one who trembles at his word. I ask you, perchance, could it have been you opening that Bible that God caught, that God's attention was caught? Or have you been busy in many things else. This is something that we as a church must recover as individual believers, those who minister the word, cultivate the sense of God's watching eye when you share the word. I tell you, God pays attention to his word more than the planets, more than the stars, more than the spectacular things of this earth. He pays attention when his word is opened, ministered with faithfulness, received with trembling. And it is the sense of God that will give us that faithfulness we need. King Henry of Scotland listened to the message of John Knox one day. And the text of John Knox happened to be God's displeasure with a king, King Ahab. And King Henry sent a messenger after the service, sent a messenger to John Knox, and he was told that the king was displeased, that he should use the text in the presence of the king. And John Knox said politely, he was just being honest with the text, and his greater fear is to court the displeasure of God. And may we have that kind of attitude when it is about the proclamation of the word. The watching eye of God is something we become more conscious of than the watching eyes of our audience. This then is what sets apart Paul as a faithful minister, his ministry as a faithful ministry, and may our church be characterized by that faithfulness, sincere motive, assured calling, conscious presence. Amid so many peddlers of the word, the triumph belongs to those who tremble at his word. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos at mabuting Ama, maraming salamat sa mga salita ni Pablo na hindi niya iniwan sa paglalarawan lang ng tagumpay ng iglesia, ng mananampalataya, ng dahil kay Kristo, kundi itinuro niya sino ang nagtatagumpay. At salamat na ito ay wala sa kayamanan, wala sa kapangyarihan, wala sa pwesto o ano pamang kabantugan, kundi nasa tapat na pagpapahayag ng iyong salita. Ito nawa ang hangarin namin na mapanatili, lumago pa sa aming iglesia. And we need, Father, sincere motive. That sincerity, which is genuine belief in our product, which is the message of the gospel. We believe that it truly saves. We believe that there is no other message that can save, and continue to refresh and deepen our belief in our message. But give us, Lord, a genuine care for our prospects, genuine care for our hearers, and genuine care is most tested when those prospects we are seeking to reach out to hurt us, the way the Corinthians hurt Paul, and yet he did not give up on them. May you give us the genuine care that will withstand the provocation, the demeaning, and think of eternity as too high a price to just turn our backs to those who yet may hear your word. Give us an assurance of your calling, that this indeed is the calling of the church, that the church is here not to give the entertainment that this world is seeking, not the miracles that people are looking after. The church's calling is to proclaim the word. And may we learn to connect everything we do in terms of its contribution to the word of God. May we highlight our sense of accountability, that because our commission is from God, we answer to God. And we pray that the way we can answer the deterrent forces surrounding us is by a consciousness of your watching eye. It is when we realize your eye is upon us that we can bear the insulting stares or the challenging looks of other men and women. And may we continue to desire to be faithful to the word. And we thank you for the assurance that it is to the one who trembles at your word that your eyes are most paying attention more than the great physical creation of the universe. And may we be regularly one of those men and women upon whom your eye will set and see someone trembling at your word and being faithful in the sharing of your word. Be with us in the application of this. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.